I'm Logan.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Automatic for the People. It's automatic. It's automatic. You're the one. It's automatic. It's automatic. Your daily life is just being good. Hey everybody, welcome back to Automatic for the People, a Legion podcast. That's right, in case you don't know, we're talking Legion while Mr. Robot is on its break. It'll be coming back this summer. So in the meantime, we're talking about our new favorite TV show, which if you're into Mr. Robot and you're not watching Legion, I think you're missing out on the best show to come along since
Mr. Robot.
Yeah. I mean, I know we say that a lot, but they're so similar, it's eerie. And I don't think it's a case of like the show's copying anything.
No, it's just, I think it's more the depth of the show.
Yeah.
They compare a lot to each other.
Yeah. I don't want to say stylistic because that implies that Mr. Robot isn't stylistic, but it's a different kind of style. Like, this is more like esoteric, I guess. Like, it's Twin Peaks-ish, whereas Mr. Robot,
very much, yes,
does, you know, has the kind of like weird, kind of schizophrenic vibe to it, but not, it doesn't play with the visuals the way that this show does. And maybe this episode more than any of the three previous episodes really kind of mind screws you, to put it more PG terms, with the visuals. I didn't realize how much it did until I rewatched the episode. And I was like, oh, wow. We were in the end of the show at the beginning of the show.
Right.
So, which is just crazy. But, you know, it is what it is. Spoilers for the episode. Like, legit spoilers for this episode. We got a lot of questions answered and a lot more questions brought to the forefront. So I guess let's just dive into it. I think this is my favorite episode so far.
Yeah, it's if it's not my favorite, it's pretty close. I really enjoyed the second one, but I know you weren't very big on it. But
it's not that I didn't like it. It was a step down from the pilot episode, the chapter one.
Yeah, but it was also a step forward in, now we have a goal and now we have a, I don't know, I just like that defining, we have a path to follow now. So,
and I agree with you that that's important, but we've had two episodes since then and
has kind of ticked me off. But
so, I mean, his sister, we literally know less about her situation now than we did two episodes ago.
Like, yeah, that's kind of ticked me off, but I can see the, I hate to call it a game, but I can see the game that they're playing, you know, and it's, don't want to put all our cards out on the table.
So there's a lot to unpack in this episode, so I don't know if we'll be able to do like even like a scene by scene kind of analysis. Not that we usually do that, but I do kind of go through like major scenes, but there's so much going on in this episode. Like, starting with, I was completely confused for the first like minute and a half of this episode.
Me too.
I legit thought I was watching something else. I was like, am I playing the wrong thing? Like, it says I'm watching Legion, but like, this is not Legion. Like, I have no idea what this is. Like, what's going on? So, I mean, what did you think about it?
I was probably confused a lot longer than that. I wasn't understanding where we were in the story, you know? So, I did, but it's happened to me a few times on this show. So I just kind of sit there and roll with it and go, okay, eventually everything will unfold and I'll know what's going on.
Are you at all familiar with that actor, Jemaine Clement?
Who plays?
He plays Oliver. Oliver Byrd.
The guy in the ice?
Yeah.
No, I have no idea who that is. Okay. But I loved the character.
apparently he is, he actually is the voice that we hear in chapter 3. Like, there's some whispering that comes from him, which is, it's like, that's pretty good that it's gonna kind of like, he's being incorporated into other things. He's kind of a pop culture, like, underground guy. He's going to be showing up in, I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the next Thor movie, because a friend of his is the director of Thor Ragnarok. But did you ever hear of the series Flight of the Conchords?
I've heard of that. I have no idea what it's about.
Yeah, it was an HBO show. So, he was one of the stars of that show. He's been in a bunch of other stuff. But he's a really, really funny dude. And it kind of surprised me to see him in something like this weird and bring in his kind of sensibility to it, because it's so offbeat. Like, it's not what you expect in this world at all.
Well, his character was very offbeat, but he was, what, stuck in the mid-60s, late 60s?
Yeah, the bra thing was hysterical.
Bras are back.
And he's so disappointed, man. But he has, like, all these ideas that he talks about, like, how we're the root of all our own problems, and fear of what we don't understand, and violence is ignorance, and just like all these like grand ideas. He's a very almost Charles Xavier type character.
I did get that vibe from him. I kind of had that. This is like Professor X.
Which he is, because we find out that he's Oliver Byrd, the founder of Summerland. Who, up until this point, we had believed to be dead. And it turns out he's not dead. We don't really know where he is, but he's not dead. Like, I took it as he's still inside of his body and he's stuck on the astral plane somewhere and they can't get him back.
Yeah, I mean, because that's where he said they were, was the astral plane. But what I really want to know is how the hell he got there.
Maybe he has some kind of mind powers. You know, maybe like he is this universe's version of Charles Xavier. So, yeah, it was.
Well, you said he was a voice. Was he not the voice of the coffee maker?
Oh, yeah, I guess he was.
Yeah. That just kind of hit me that she liked talking to the coffee maker because...
But it's very, like, roboticized.
Right.
Kind of has that Siri-sounding quality to it. So I guess maybe they did use his voice and they just kind of, like, filtered it somehow. So I need to go back and listen to that. So that's interesting. He kind of introduces us into this story like we're watching a television show or a movie, which only adds to everyone's theories, including Spencer's, the obligatory Spencer reference here, who saw my Mojo figure this weekend and said, "How do you not think that this is the guy in Legion?" But I still don't, especially after this episode, even though there's still the kind of leaning into the television stuff or the entertainment, quote unquote, like things that are going on, so much so that like we even have Carrie, the female Carrie, running around talking about like gladiator style battles, you know. Like there's a lot of things here that still lean into that, but there's two very big things that pretty much have made up my mind that this is not Mojo at all. It is one of two things, possibly both of the other things that I've brought up before. One of which is the Shadow King.
Yes.
So, never, ever, ever in the history of television have the words "we didn't have a dog" sounded so disturbing. Like, literally, like, when she said that, it was, like, it was almost earth-shattering. It was, like, spoilers for Mr. Robot, it was almost, like, on the level of him, like, finding the grave of his father and realizing that, oh, wait, no, he's dead. And, like...
Yeah, it was pretty close to that.
Like, it was, she was like, but we didn't have a dog. And I was like, what? So, did you catch the dog's name?
Oh, I did, but I don't remember.
The dog's name is King.
King. Oh.
So, that further...
Didn't put that together while I was watching it.
When he starts talking about the dog and she's like, "We didn't have a dog." And he's like, "Yeah, my dog King." I'm like, oh God, it is the Shadow King. And like, I think she's the Shadow King. Lenny, that is.
Let's jump into that.
How do you even unwrap all of that?
Can we jump right into that?
I mean, yeah. Sure.
His split personality has a split personality.
But, I mean, is... No. No, because...
But I know, but that's the first thing I thought was, like, his split personality has a split personality.
Well, see, here's the thing. It answers the question about Lenny to some degree. Like, we still don't know who Lenny is, but we get an answer to the... Because there's the whole, like... How did they wind up in this, like, the chronological order of things didn't make sense from what we knew. Because, like, they were friends and then they wound up in the same asylum together. Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, you know? And we were thinking, what, maybe she died before they went to the asylum? But at the same time, we know that Sid killed her in the asylum. So... Like, just the whole chronological order was off. But this answers that question. Like, Lenny was not around for all of that. It was another character entirely that he has basically... I feel like he's merged the two in his mind.
Well, yeah, which kind of plays into the... It's not necessarily a split personality, but two that he's put together...
Right.
That now we've come to a realization where we have to split them apart. Who's who? And
yeah, is it Benny saying something or is it Lenny saying something? And I feel like the more intense and kind of vulgar the character is, that it's Benny.
Right.
And then the more kind of, which, I mean, makes it sound a little sexist, but like knowing that Benny was the drug guy, like Benny was the guy who stole the, was it stove. A stove?
Yeah.
And took him to the alley and got him the drugs and said all those, like, things about, you know, whatever with the girl and, like, all this other stuff. Like,
which, the stove thing, we never really... That has to be the
worst... We didn't get a lot of payoff on that.
Well, it has to be the worst thing a drug addict's ever come up with to score some drugs.
Yeah, stealing the stove.
Yeah, that to me makes me think that that is a created memory that is blocking off something else. Nobody steals a stove to get drugs.
Well, you're bringing up the creative memories. So that's an interesting thing that gets laid kind of heavily on us in this episode, is that we're now stuck with an unreliable narrator in the mind of an unreliable narrator.
Yeah, it's...
It's very twisted. So, I love this idea that... Tonami even tells her while they're kind of reliving some of his memories, which I like the... I also like the idea that machines have memories too. And by her, by Sid touching the machine, I'm assuming because of her powers, like she can't swap places with the machine, but somehow she can like vibe with the machine or something. And then Tonami can step into the memories. Like it's this whole weird, like, it's one of those things, if you think about it too much, you just kind of ruin it. It's just kind of like quirky and like, okay, yeah, let's just roll with that.
Oh, that was one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie. Yeah, I wouldn't dive too much into it, but the whole movie, the whole episode. But that whole scene where they realized that possibly he wasn't there to steal anything, but to... find evidence and get rid of it.
Which goes back to, we saw him eating that tape that we talked about last week. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
But we saw him eat the tape, and I was like, I don't understand what that's all about. But now that kind of makes sense. He did something he was trying to destroy the evidence of. And by trying to destroy the evidence, he then mortally, or at least seriously, wounded Dr. Poole. Now, I was of the opinion that Dr. Poole is dead. Now I'm still not so sure.
Yeah, I'm not either, because of the whole guy with the weird eye thing. I don't even know if we know his name.
Well, is he Dr. Poole?
Well, that's quite possible, but we never see in the past Dr. Poole moments the weird eye thing.
Well, but did David cause that?
Oh, that's a good point.
So, like, clearly he can make other people see him however he wants them to see him. So, is the eye just an after effect of David taking the tape recorder and beating the hell out of him with it?
That's a pretty good point. Why would he make David see him as a...
I don't know.
A black guy. David's more comfortable with...
Who knows? Maybe it's just...
Of course, you're still in the mind or in the memories of an unreliable narrator, like you said.
Maybe the original Dr. Poole was that guy. But then when they found David,
right,
they replaced Dr.
Maybe they killed Dr. Poole.
And then replaced him with that guy. So, because
all this time I've been thinking that the memory he's blocking, first I thought it was he killed his girlfriend. Then I thought maybe he killed Dr. Poole. Then I thought maybe he killed both of them. And then we saw both of them in this episode. But the one we didn't really see was Dr. Poole.
Right. So, and when we did see Dr. Poole both times, both when Sid and her crew go visit him, and when Tonami sees Dr. Poole in the ex-girlfriend's memory, he does have a messed up eye. So that's like when the girl ex-girlfriend goes to visit Dr. Poole, is she really visiting Dr. Poole? Which makes me think that
maybe... Well, I think somehow she figured out she wasn't, because she knew that they're listening.
Yeah, which is pretty creepy too. Do you want me to tell him anything? Tell him they're listening. I was like, okay, well, she knows that something's up with him. Like, it's kind of funny that everybody in his life seems to know that he is gifted and also, like, on the run or slash being hunted by a group of people, yet nobody seems to have done anything about it. I'm just like, okay, well, we'll just explain it away with something else, you know? So, which is an interesting, it's interesting to me because it's very real world. Like, even speaking from personal experience, like, when you know things are wrong, like, you just assume they're not that serious, and you try to explain it away with whatever. I mean, I think we both can speak to that.
Yeah.
So, you're like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, I'm not sleeping enough, or I'm just, you know, exhausted, or, like...
I'm just schizophrenic.
So, it's, you know, it was easier to say that, in this case, it's easier to say he's sick than to confront the idea of this is a very special, unique individual that has, like, incredible power. And, like, his sister even says that which I think it's pretty convenient that she is roomed next to his old doctor. Not Dr. Poole, the other one.
What was it called?
Kissinger.
Well, I'm trying to think of the place he was at.
Because
I thought it was. I always
want to say Waterworks, but it's not Waterworks.
Oh, God. What's the name of the stinking movie? They were all wearing orange, and the name of the place was
Clockworks.
Yeah, Clockworks. Yeah. Which struck me as weird because of Clockwork Orange, but
I mean, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm assuming she's still locked up in Clockworks, but she's now in a cell next to Kissinger, his old doctor, and it just seems really convenient to me.
Not just a cell, like the weirdest cells of all time.
Yeah, wasn't sure if there was like a plexiglass outside that we were just seeing through, or if it was supposed to be...
If you looked close enough, you could see that it was a plexiglass.
Yeah. When the guard walked by, that's when I knew.
Right. Further, so. And there were like little holes in the plexiglass.
But yeah, it's very, very strange. I think he's a plant.
I kind of thought the same thing.
So,
like, he's just there to try to get info out of her to see if she really knows where he's at.
Right. But yeah, going back to David's mental state and his... So the idea is that he has... Like, Tonami even says... he's dealt with people, which is, I felt like a vague reference to Wolverine, but whatever. He's dealt with people with implanted memories before. And that's something that's fairly common in the X-Men universe. just for the sole reason of the massive amount of psychics that are running around
right.
the X-Men universe. There's always memory implants going on, or memory erasing, or whatever, which I thought that's what we were dealing with. Somebody had erased part of his memory, but the more they dig, the more they seem to uncover the fact that it's not that his memory's been erased, it's that it's been changed to hide a lot of the facts about his past. And, you know, Tonomy says, like, they're not memory implants, because I've dealt with those before. And Sid says, well, what if he's the one that's changed his memory? Which is also, like, that's a big mental health issue, right? You have, like, blockages, you know, where you just have, like, selective amnesia, where you just, your mind chooses to forget things.
I agree with you. I think something, one of his personalities, which we know it's a power, not necessarily split personality, has, I guess, much like in the comic books, where he was able to put these characters or powers or personalities in cells in his mind and only unlock them when he needed to use them. Somehow that's happened, and it's getting explained in a much different way than the way it was in the comic books.
Well, Oliver kind of tells him that, like, when he's... So eventually he meets Oliver. For most of the episode, David is unconscious, and they can't wake him up, and they can't find him in his own subconscious. Like, Tonomy can't get in his mind and pull him out. They don't know where he is. Like, his brain is still active, but they don't know where he is inside his brain.
I did have a question for you about that. Do you think the reason they couldn't find him was because of, you said his name earlier.
Oliver?
Yeah, because of Oliver?
No, I think they couldn't find him because of David.
Okay. I was just wondering what you thought.
No, I think he has unintentionally walled himself in.
Which he obviously has the capability to do, if what I think is going on is what's really going on, is the memories or whatever have... He's the one that did that to himself, or right. One of his personalities did it.
So well, that's what Oliver tells him on the astral plane, which we haven't even really touched on the astral plane. I freaking loved it. It was incredible.
It was cool.
Oliver, when they meet on the astral plane, Oliver tells him, you know, like, you're safe here from your monster. And
did, like, you catch the visuals in the ice?
Yes.
In the background? Some of them were obvious, but there was one or two that were, if you weren't watching the background, you would have missed it.
Yeah, it's creepy cool kind of effect.
Okay, am I getting you off
subject? No. I'm just going to talk about how he says...
Do you think the yellow monster guy looks a lot like somebody else?
I mean...
He looks like... his druggy friend, only he's fatter and yellow.
Yeah. See, now Tim last week is saying that it's played, that Dan Stevens is playing the devil with the yellow eyes. But I didn't think so. So I think it could be...
What was his name? Lenny?
No, Lenny is her name. His name is Benny.
Benny, yeah.
I think it could be that guy, who could be the Shadow King.
If anybody has constantly listened to this show, y'all obviously know I suck with names, so.
I mean, you got Lenny right. Just prescribed it to the wrong iteration of the wrong person. So, I mean, technically now he's Lenny inside of David's head.
Well, I just... Towards the end of the episode, I kind of felt like, okay, Benny turned into the monster.
Well, that's, he seems to see. I think Benny is dead, just like Lenny, just like maybe some other people that we either have already been introduced to or will be introduced to. I think that when the people he knows dies, he kind of takes them and turns them into like people in his head. Like Benny was the demon that was always pushing him in the wrong direction.
Right.
And so he became that demon.
That's kind of how I felt about it whenever we had that revelation that there was no Lenny, there was only Benny. Even though now, somewhere down the road, we've got to figure out where Lenny came from.
Lenny, I think, was just in the asylum.
Gotcha.
So, let's see, what else happened? My point about what Oliver told him is that, he has created a protection system for himself. That's kind of what he tells him. He's like, there's this thing that's protecting you from your own memories. Like you've created it and it's kind of gotten out of control and become this thing that's destroying you from the inside out. Which goes back to my original theory of what the demon with the yellow eyes is, or the devil with the yellow, whatever it is. Devil with the yellow eyes, I think is what it is. Is that it's just a piece of him, like that it's not necessarily the Shadow King. But then the dog thing makes me think, well, maybe it's both of those things.
Well, you know what made me think it was the Shadow King?
Her at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was freaking creepy, man. So yeah, I think Benny might be the Shadow King. And is now. Maybe something happened to Benny and he's now just taken up residence inside David's head. Because that's kind of what the Shadow King did, right?
Right, but David has the power to wall him off, so you only get those slight glimpses and sneak peeks at him where he might be about to bust through, and then David's able to wall him off again.
Yeah. All right. So. I think we've touched on everything except the end and the revelation of Carrie and Carrie's
That was great,
powers.
man.
Or not
I
the
was like,
revelation of their
yes, this
powers,
is
but
awesome.
like who they are. Like what did you think about their quote unquote origin story?
Well, I don't remember there being like an origin story.
Well, I've.
I know she lives inside of him and only ages whenever she steps outside of him.
Right. But she's still a whole separate person. Like, it's so strange, and much like several other things. Like,
Legends of Tomorrow,
yeah, it is kind of a firestorm kind of thing,
right.
in reverse almost.
Whereas when they combine, you only see I don't know his name, the black actor that plays Firestorm. You only see him, but inside his mind is the doctor.
Right.
So this is kind of like that, but is there a mutant that we know of that's like that? I don't.
I mean, possibly, but nobody I can think of off the top of my head. If there is, it's a fairly obscure mutant.
When that got brought up, I spent most of the rest of the episode like trying to think of, and the only people I know that can split like that are they can split themselves, but not become two different people. Like Multiple Man or there was another guy that could do that too.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that splits to become
No, just multiple man. I was thinking of Morph, but he just changes.
Yeah. So, all right. So, like, I really dug kind of their quote unquote origin. But once she started telling the story, I felt it felt ominous to me. Like,
well, remind me, because I do not remember hearing this.
When her and Sid are sitting on the log, and she's telling, she says, "Well, let me tell you a story about a young Native woman who was married to somebody, and she got pregnant. They were going to have a Native girl of their own, but when the baby's born as this pale white kid." And pale white male. And so the husband believes that the woman cheated, and he takes off, leaving her to be a single mother. And then when the boy is 9 years old, he wakes up in his room to see a young Native girl playing with his train set. And he convinces himself eventually that, like, he's just made her up, that she's this imaginary friend that comes and goes.
Okay, see, I remember that, but I'd never put that together as...
Yeah, that's her telling their origins.
Yeah, I just never put it together.
Yeah. So, but once she starts telling the story, I was like, well, something bad's about to happen. Because, like, we have to explain what she is before we see her leave. You know?
Do you think she's dead?
I hope she's not dead. But I do feel like that... Like, that was the stakes for this issue. Like, because she's constantly talking about, like, I want to go kick some ass. I want to go get into a fight. And, like, just all this, like, she wants to be out there in the action. And that's never a good sign, man. You know?
Yeah, I kind of felt that same way. I did like seeing her do her thing.
Yeah, even though she's, like, totally overwhelmed. Like... Those dudes have guns and knives and grenades and whatever, and she's out there just, you know, kicking and punching. I was like, this is not going to go well. I thought they were just going to kill her off the bat.
Right, when they were beating the crap out of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I like the kind of Tomax Zaymot stuff between...
He's dancing and
yeah,
well, not dancing, but it kind of looks like he's dancing.
It's kind of like acting out the moves yeah. and stuff, you know. I thought that was pretty cool. And then I love the moment where they go on the run, so to speak, from the eye once it's revealed that he's really the doctor in disguise.
That was great. Where
yeah. He corners Sid, and she's like, "Nah, I don't think so."
Yeah,
and just pulls her glove off and touches his fingers and swaps places with him. So that was pretty freaking awesome. So, but unfortunately, David doesn't know they swap places, and he, after having his long astral plane discussion with Oliver Bird, who just wants to. Like, I love the good news, bad news of the situation.
I'm not alone anymore.
Yeah, the good news is I'm not alone anymore. You're stuck on the astral plane with me. And David's like, no, I've been told I'm a pretty powerful mutant. I think I can get out.
Oh, his whole trying to get out thing
was so funny.
Yeah, it was great. And then, what's his name, just walks over there and kind of touches the wall. And
yeah, he's like, well, you can go. You know, just don't get lost out there. And, of course, David being David, he's able to transport himself to where Sid is.
Well, you bring up a good thing here that I didn't think of until you just brought it up. But David was brought himself back at the exact right/wrong moment to save Sid, but not really Sid. Right. And who brought him back was
Lenny/
right. Lenny.
So he runs into her in his old bedroom, which he keeps looking for a way out of, and then he's like, wait, I'm on the astral plane. I can just walk out of here, which is a fantastic effect. Him, like, just walking through the wall.
Yeah, those.
And then walking back in, like, behind her on the bed. It looked incredible. Like, the star field on the floor looked amazing. Doctor Strange had a ginormous budget. And to me, this was more impressive for, like, a quote-unquote astral plane than anything we saw in Doctor Strange. Did you see it yet?
I watched half of it, and I never got back to the second half.
I went to Best Buy today, and I was going to pick it up. Sold out.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard it got nominated for...
I didn't watch the Oscars.
So. You didn't?
No.
You missed the big...
Yeah, I did. Up. Yeah, I did. But yeah, so you're right. Lenny brings him back from the astral plane, and he gets there right in time to stop who he thinks is the Eye and let Sid get away, not knowing that they swap places. And then by the time he realizes it and she swapped back, then the Eye pulls out a gun and fires off, which I was confused as to why he only got one shot off. Did he only have one bullet left?
I had the exact same question, dude. Like, so you just wanted to shoot one person?
Yeah, it was very weird.
And then you didn't even shoot the person you wanted to shoot.
Yeah.
So then you just turn around and start running away. I just wrote it off as one of those that's television type of things.
So he gets a shot off hitting female Carrie like firmly in the chest. So,
but it wasn't in the heart. It was on the other side.
You're right. But I mean, it's a bullet wound to the chest.
But there's a space there where you could get shot and
in the shoulder, it's like clearly in her chest. So
I'm just trying to, I don't want her to be dead.
Me either, man. But
it also brings up another thing. What if even if she is dead, he's able
to save her?
To create another one. You know what I mean? He's always part of her until he dies. Even if she dies,
she come back as a younger version,
or just the same, just and with no memory of what happened while she was outside of his body. That's just kind of a thought I had.
That would be an interesting twist. So, so that's kind of, I guess, where it ends, more or less, with her death and him kind of holding her, and then we see Lenny like come out of
first
him.
You see the hand,
yeah, the hand shoulder. Like come around his shoulder,
long and then, fingernails, kind of like Mojo, but like the Shadow King also. Mojo doesn't have the power to do that.
Yeah.
That's what makes me think of the Shadow King.
Yeah. So, and then her kind of, Lenny, kind of like coming over his shoulder, like very ominous and creepy and just, yeah. There's a lot going on in this episode. More than, I mean, I'll probably rewatch it again and
find. I want to watch them all right in a row, which I haven't done yet.
So. So we're halfway through the season.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing, but
like it's so good, but it's upsetting that we are now halfway through the season. Like we have 4 more weeks and then we have to wait a year, hopefully, to get a second season. I don't know if it's been officially renewed yet or not. I feel like the critical reaction is definitely going to get it a season 2. So
how are the ratings, do you know?
I haven't really looked. Cable's so weird, man. So
I wish this was a Netflix show so I could binge watch
binge
it.
watch it,
But at the same time, I'm glad it's not. It's in the last, what, 3 years or so, we've been very much spoiled on the ability to binge watch things. And now that Netflix has original programming, it's even worse. Along with Hulu.
Let's see. Bringing up the ratings here. See, my problem is I don't really know how to read.
The ratings, yeah, I don't either.
See, total viewers.
I used to know somebody that, was it Justin, that knew how to read all of that stuff?
Yeah. 750,000, I guess. It got to 0.4 in the 18 to 49, which was like the key demo. So,
18 to 49. That's a big gap.
yeah. I mean, but that's the gap. The advertisers, like from 18 to 49, you're working. So generally, so you have a job, so you can spend money. That's the age gap that the advertisers want to hit. For a show like this, anyway, 16-year-olds generally aren't up watching, and if they are, they're probably like bootlegging it off the internet. But this was actually the season low for the series.
Really, and it was probably the best episode.
It fell from 1.43 million viewers last week to 750,000 viewers this week. But with that said, there was some NBA games on, and
That's just on the premiere of the episode, right? That's
yeah,
not
that's
counting.
not counting the like
'Cause
watch later
FX
stuff.
is good about re-airing stuff.
Yeah.
A, the same night, B, the next night.
And plus there's the streaming online. So, which plays in again, I think critical reaction and kind of like the people that are watching the show seem to generally be loving the show. I think it'll get a season two. But yeah, did you have anything else about the episode?
No, not really.
We went really long last week, so I feel like we can be kind of short this week. Yeah, it's my favorite episode so far. It's directed by a woman named Larissa Kondracki. I'm sure I'm butchering that. Who has not like she's directed some episodes of some shows I don't love, like Gotham. But
Well, it depends on what episodes. There's
she
been some
okay.
decent
She
episodes of Gotham.
directed the Azrael episode of Gotham, which is actually like it's still bad, but as far as Gotham goes,
It's
it's pretty
the
up there.
better, yeah.
Yeah. She directed two episodes of Heroes Reborn, which actually two of the better episodes of that revival series, which like fizzled out. I mean,
Yeah.
even more than the regular
I
series
don't
fizzled
even think
out.
it fizzled out. It felt like somebody chopped its head off and it just
Yeah.
disappeared.
She's directed an episode of The Walking Dead, a show I don't love. She directed some episodes of Halt and Catch Fire, a show that we gave up on. And directed quite a few episodes of a series called Copper that I've heard so many good things about and just never gotten around to watching. So, but based on this, like I want to go back and check out some, maybe I should check out Copper because I'm not going to rewatch episodes of,
Gotham,
yeah, Gotham or
The
Walking
Walking Dead.
Dead or. She did direct two episodes of Better Call Saul, though, which is one of the best shows on television.
That's a prequel, correct? To
yes, you do not have to know anything about Breaking Bad to enjoy Better Call Saul. And in fact, I would say, like, I would recommend you watch Better Call Saul not knowing anything about. Actually, you know what? This lady directed a movie, so I think I'm just going to track this down, because it's called The Whistleblower. Came out in 2010. Listen to this cast, man. Rachel Weisz, Vanessa Redgrave, Monica Bellucci, David Strathairn. Like, those people right there will get me to watch a movie. And add in Benedict Cumberbatch. Holy crap, dude. So, I need to go check out this movie, The Whistleblower. But, anyway, so yeah, great episode. My favorite so far.
Yeah, I want to go back and find some Shadow King issues and start reading them.
Oh, I do want that, because I feel like maybe somebody will call us on this. Clicking on IMDb. So, possible spoilers for who is or isn't playing the yellow-eyed demon, but only this is only so that we're kind of crossing the... There is a specific actor that they're using for it. So Tim is completely wrong. A guy named Quentin Boisclair is the devil with the yellow eyes.
Does it say who played Benny?
Kirby Morrow.
Okay.
So, who has actually been in a bunch of stuff. So, he was actually in another episode of Legion. He was in chapter 2. And it just says large man. So, like, we've seen him before.
Was he the drug dealer that sold him the drugs for the oven? No, because that was a... I know that guy.
Kirby Morrow?
No, the guy that sold him the drugs.
Oh, yeah. You know Kirby Morrow, too. He's a voiceover actor. He's been in a lot of stuff. He's, like, all the Lego things, he's the voice of General Grievous.
Oh. Well, then he's in my top 50.
Yeah. He's a, like... big time voiceover guy. So most of his credits are voiceover work. So but yeah, love the episode. Oh, he was also the voice of Cyclops in X-Men Evolution. I know you didn't watch it, but
well, I've seen about 3 or 4 episodes.
So, and he was the voice of Goku in the Canadian version of Dragon Ball Z. So there you go.
I'm definitely not a Dragon Ball person, so.
Oh, man. But yeah, we'll be back next week talking about Chapter 5, which puts us over the halfway mark, which is, again, like, it makes me happy, but it's also very kind of depressing that we're halfway through this show already.
I just don't want them to end it without closure.
Some kind of closure for the season?
Even if it's just getting his sister. I mean...
Well, I feel like the season has to end with them at least rescuing her. But maybe I'm wrong. We're on Twitter at Mr. Robot Podcast, which, you know, is weird because it doesn't really apply to, you know, this particular show. But you can tweet us at Mr. Robot Podcast. You can email us, MrRobotPodcast@gmail.com. Go check out everything else we do over at filmdispenser.com, including the Shield Your Ears podcast, which I guess I put you on the spot with this. Like, I told you about the rebranding of that podcast, kind of the relaunching we're talking about.
Yeah.
Starting in the summer as like just a Marvel, podcast. Yeah, Marvel television and film podcast. So you're going to have to like, in fact, I feel like maybe season 2 of this show might be on that podcast.
Oh yeah.
So, but like, dude, have you seen how much shit we're getting? Excuse the, I mean, a Cloak and Dagger show.
Yeah, I've heard about the Cloak and Dagger.
Next year, there's a Runaways show. I know you're not really familiar with the Runaways. The Inhumans, they've now cast the entire Inhuman family, which is crazy to me.
Which is now a show, correct? No longer a movie. Yeah,
not a movie, a show. And we're getting, of course, more of... probably getting more of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it's taken this weird uptick.
I'm about three episodes behind.
So. And we've got the other X-Men show that's coming that they've done a lot of casting for.
Which is?
It's unnamed X-Men show on Fox. So it'll be canceled before it airs. But, you know, whatever, it's coming. So, yeah, like, they've really, really upped their television game to try to compete with DC on the CW stuff. So, which I feel like at this point, CW just needs to rebrand as the DC network. So.
Well, I think Arrow's got some work to do. The Flash is still fantastic.
Legends of Tomorrow has gotten infinitely better.
Yeah. Oh, especially with them bringing back Rip as, spoiler alert, a bad guy.
Supergirl is just...
I'm still a few episodes behind on that, but the last ones I've watched have been great.
I mean, it has its goofiness, but it's like the goofiness that's inherent to Superman as a character, but it's so, like, bright and hopeful, and like, it's what you want Superman to be, and, like, they cannot seem to give you that with the movies, which is fine. Like, if you want to make a dark, brooding Superman, whatever, that's fine. I'm glad we have Supergirl to be the actual, like, torch carrier of what the Superman mythos actually is.
What I found funny, and yeah, I know we were trying to wrap up, but how does DC do the television and the direct-to-video movies
so good
and they completely fail at, I mean, you've got so much possibilities in blockbuster movies and you completely fall flat on your face. You know, Ben Affleck doesn't want to do Batman anymore.
No, that's not true at all.
Oh, that was just a rumor?
That's completely made up.
Okay.
That is the internet taking this... all it was he didn't have a comment. No, Warner Brothers issued a release about who they were hiring as the new director, and it did not include the words of the Batman film, which will star Ben Affleck. Like, they didn't have his name in the press release because it was about the director. We already knew Ben Affleck was going to be in the movie. It was like, oh God, Ben Affleck's not in the press release. That means he wants out of Batman. And it's like, no, that wasn't the case at all. So much so that Affleck basically, when the papers were signed, tweeted at the director, "Welcome to the Batcave."
Gotcha. So, well, good. I'm glad you could tell me that. I didn't do any research on it. It's just something that
I
heard on the radio.
It's that thing where they print all these websites are like going to quote unquote print with these articles about the doom and gloom of the franchise, which I'm not saying it's going to be good, but they're so quick to predict the demise and the turmoil behind it. But when it comes out that, hey, that's not really the case, like, it's literally like a teeny tiny little piece down in the corner. Oh, wait, Ben Affleck will still be in the Batman movie after all. Like, oh yeah, we just jumped on this hot story for a minute. So yeah, it's crap. But you're right though. Like, how do you get these animated direct to DVD movies so right? You get these animated series that you do, Teen Titans Go aside, so right.
Actually, as a child, you can't tell me you wouldn't enjoy Teen Titans Go.
No, I don't think as a kid I would have liked it. It's too... Dude, the shows we watched when we were kids were nowhere near that fast-paced.
Well, this is a different child, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Me as a kid, no, I wouldn't have enjoyed it.
What, as a child today?
Yeah, I'm sure if I was
the YouTube generation.
Yeah, I would enjoy a 5-minute show that isn't really about superheroes, but more is about bodily functions and...
and finding giant sandwiches. And...
Yeah, it's so stupid. So annoying. But that one aside, like, they managed to produce some of the best superhero-related things out there. And whereas Marvel has been mostly hit and miss with the TV stuff, they've taken a major step up. Like, I feel like Netflix really upped their game. Like, once you saw what Daredevil could be, it's like, oh God, wait, no, we have to.
Right.
We have to do this better, you know?
Well, on that side with the Netflix, but Netflix has money to throw out the window almost.
Well, they're not beholden to advertisers.
And in the network television standpoint, Marvel hasn't done such a great job.
No, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is about 65-70% of a really good show. You know,
but everything else, even the animated Avengers Assemble is okay.
Avengers is up and down. Ultimate Spider-Man, I think, is rock solid.
Yeah, I do like that. They completely.
Agents of Smash was phenomenal, and they just threw it under a bus.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say they completely F-worded Agents of Smash and just... I don't know. It's like they bailed on it. It wasn't a bad show.
No, it was actually, I think, better than Ultimate Spider-Man.
And it was a show about the Hulk that, you know, you're not going to get ever... Again,
and probably. You dig the Guardian show, but I just could not get into it.
Oh, I enjoy the crap out of it, but it's mainly because it's along the same lines of the movie, bit different, but
I mean, we're getting Iron Fist in a couple of weeks. We're getting Punisher coming up. We're getting the Defenders coming up. We're getting like the Marvel has really, really upped their television game. So, hence the, like, we're looking at launching a Marvel-centric podcast where we discuss the television and the movies and maybe the occasional comic book series. So,
yeah, I kind of feel like Marvel's drawing a line here in the sand going, all right, DC.
and almost, what, like 80% of it is connected, so to speak.
So that's what makes it great, whereas DC has divided their...
Yeah. So, anyway, we were wrapping this up 20 minutes ago. Yeah, go find us on Twitter. Go find us on filmdispenser.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.
Here's a little ghost for the offering. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here's a truck stop instead of St. Peter's. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Andy Kaufman's gone wrestling.